Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude this study of Luke chapter 4 verses 14 through 21 titled Jesus Announces His Divine Call. This is part 3 of 3.
Jesus is here with a bunch of people who know him. He's read this passage and folks there, these are synagogue going Jews. It's like we talk about, you know, people who come regularly to this meeting of the BBFers. And if you either come or watch or listen to all the studies that we have, the Sunday school, this Sunday morning and Wednesday night, and you're reading your Bible every day, you will grow spiritually like you can't not, you couldn't even imagine until you try it. But getting people to try it's the hard part. But you can imagine Jesus going in with these people who knew their Bibles, reading that text and stopping where he stopped. And then comes the bombshell. Verse 21, Jesus says, well, I want you to read it with me. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And I want to go back, listen to verse 20, what it describes the intensity. And he closed the book and he gave it again to the ministers and minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. Kind of like how we were watching Jenny totally mess up that song because she didn't bring her lyrics. And everybody's looking at you. And she's like, what am I going to do? All right, let me see. That was pretty intense, wasn't it, Jenny? You're on the internet, people are watching you live. It's pretty intense. But that's nothing compared to what Jesus went through. Because he's announcing he's going to be Messiah. Jenny's going to sing the song Wednesday, so we didn't lose anything. Jesus is announcing he's the Messiah, and everybody in the room is kind of feeling it. The intensity. All their eyes were fastened on him. Did I make you cry? I didn't. She's like, you're making it worse. I'm just joking. It's no big deal.
Keep talking.
Yeah. That makes me feel bad. I'm going to have to make Doug cry. That makes me feel better. But so you have this intense situation. Everybody's looking at Jesus and he confirms what they're thinking. They're thinking, what in the world is he doing here? Well, verse 21 says, he says, Jesus confirms, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. He's saying, I am the Messiah. And they're thinking, well, we're going to get to that next week more, but they're thinking, what? That's pretty heavy stuff. I'm trying to think. There's really nothing that wouldn't be heard that you could do like that today. It's like if somebody, but people do it. I get emails from people who claim to be one of the two witnesses in Revelation. I'm not kidding you. And there's a guy on YouTube that has a YouTube channel. And yeah. So the problem is if somebody stood up and claimed to be like someone like that, we'd say, you know, your timing's off a little bit. Yeah, that's the major problem is your timing. You know. So he is claiming to be the fulfillment of a 4,000-year-old prophecy. Think of that. We're waiting for 2,000 years for the rapture. They've been waiting 4,000 years. You remember on Wednesday night we read where the prophecy began in Genesis 3. Turn there real quick. Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 through 15. And we had a real good discussion 2 weeks ago on a Wednesday night. And I'm going to read verse 14 while you turn there. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Read 15 with me. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That's a prophecy. For those who weren't here, you never heard this explained. He's talking to the serpent, and he says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. That's a reference to the virgin birth.
Amen.
And this is a reference to the coming Messiah. It shall bruise thy head, because Jesus did die, but he rose from the dead. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Meaning Jesus had the heel bruised because he died, but he rose again. Satan's head will be bruised because he's going to be cast into the lake of fire at the end of the millennium. Cast into a bottomless pit for 1,000 years and then cast into the lake of fire. So that's before time even started to count. This is at the very moment of the fall. And ever since the day of the fall, the day that Adam and Eve took of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, since that time they've been looking for this Messiah. And Jesus stands up and says, I'm Him. I mean, that's pretty... You got to put yourself in some shoes, some sandals there. The prophecy continued. Look over at Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. It's another one we looked at on our Wednesday night study. I think that was this Wednesday. Isaiah 9, and this is quoted probably on, if you get Christmas cards, it'll probably show up on at least a third of them, if not more. But we have another thing here where a period is where we sit at the end of verse 6. You know, see if you find this familiar. Read verse 6 with me. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, that's where most of the time everybody stops. But look at what it begins to say there in verse 7. Of the increase of his what? And peace there shall be no end. And upon the what? And upon his what? To order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. How many times did he say there? 3 or 4 times. We're right in that one verse that talks about the millennial kingdom. It's talking about him ruling from the throne of David in Jerusalem. His government. Has Jesus had a government?
Not yet.
That's it. Not yet. There's some churches who claim to be that government, by the way.
Yeah.
The Roman Catholic Church, for one. The Pope is like the king of the government. They actually claim that. Hogwash. There's coming a day. But we're sitting on that period at the end of the Prince of Peace and waiting for verse 7. And that was about 1,000 years before Jesus showed up. So again, we are represented by the period of the end of verse 6 there, and I've got another chart you'll find online, Daniel's 70 weeks prophecy, and you'll see the life of Christ ends, and we have around 32 to 34. We don't know that our calendars are messed up, and I'll just tell you, I've said this maybe before, but I'll say it again. The reason why our calendars are messed up, and it's because God knows if we had a perfect calendar, there'd be all these people writing books setting dates. That's the main reason for our calendar to be messed up. It doesn't stop everybody, by the way. They still come out Harold Camping and, you know, and what was that, Wisenot back in the 80s and all that. But if you see that, that's what you're looking at right there. The church age, the dispensation of the gospel of grace, the parenthesis, again, is where we are right now. And we're waiting for the rapture of the church, and then all this other stuff will happen in the tribulation, and then Jesus will set up his kingdom. So that brings us to where we'll close in verse 22. Back in Luke 4, it says, and all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. Now look at this. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? Is not this Joseph's son? You know what they're saying? He can't be the Messiah.
He's just a man.
And they're also saying he's Joseph's son, which means he's just a man. They're already in a frame of mind to deny his deity and to deny that he's the Messiah.
Amen.
Right there, Johnny.
I was just thinking of it. Verse 6 there for Isaiah 9.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm wrong here, but doesn't it look like the divide seems to be after actually the colon? Because it looks like after that it said the government shall be upon his shoulder, but that hasn't happened yet.
Well, yeah, you could divide it there. It's a statement of the future fact that, I mean, when he came, he offered the government. And so when he first came, he did offer the government. I mean, I'm not going to argue where you make the division. And that's a possibility. The reason I point past that is because the rest of the verse is true about his first coming. I mean, he was called the Mighty God. John 1:1. You know, he's called the Word is God and other places. And so there, and he's, you know, but if you divide it there, you're not a heretic. So that's where I would divide it after that for that reason. But the government is still future. So, you know, we have the same sort of discussion once in a while, like in Revelation 12. But that's a good point. So this is the typical response that most of us get from most of our loved ones, by the way. When you take it upon yourself to present Jesus Christ, you'll get this response about Jesus and about you. Most people are convinced that Jesus really isn't who the Bible says he is. They still think of him as just a man. They still reject him as Messiah. And they'll look at you and say, who do you think you are anyway? I went to college. That's how I can't tell you how many times I'll be presenting facts from the Word of God and somebody will say, well, before you go on, where did you go to seminary? Now that's a rough. Yeah, because I want to answer and say, I wasn't that stupid. And it really, that's the truth. I went into Bible college, but I stopped because I saw it was a huge waste of money. And I couldn't find Bible colleges in Scripture. I found mentorships, Timothy and Paul. And so I quit the college stuff and went around looking for a pastor. And yeah, that was trouble too. But finding a good Bible-believing pastor that I could sit under and mentor, and ended up learning a little bit here from this guy and a little bit from that guy and everything. And eventually I got a seminary education. And by the way, we were talking about this. I don't remember who was talking here just last day or two. Most of the people who went to seminary came out of seminary without a clue. And they tell you that. I'm not going to say it on the live stream, but I know people with seminary degrees that tell you they had to call up other ministers and people and ask them how to do things. Because the seminary didn't teach them anything. Huh? Yeah, and that's pretty sad that most people feel that way about no matter what college education they get. It's definitely a ripoff. I mean, the cost of it, it's just ridiculous. But anyway, so that's how they look at you. They're thinking, who are you to tell me how to get to heaven? Because you think about it, that's pretty heavy stuff. You're claiming to be able to tell somebody how they can get to heaven. But see, what they don't get is, we're not telling you. I'm not saying I know how to get to heaven. I'm saying Jesus knows. I'm saying that I have believed what the Bible says, which came from God. I believe the message and the life of Jesus Christ, and I'm telling you that I'm banking on my eternity with no one but Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The old song says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Not on my works, on His works. Not my word, His word. But sadly, that's why you get that from a lot of people when you try to tell them about the Lord, try to... You know, and people say, don't be giving out gospel tracts at the family gatherings and the weddings and things. Why? Because that's what I'm talking about right there. That's exactly what that's about. You know, with people you're taking care of, you've experienced it. And relatives, friends and relatives. I can look around the room, I'm thinking of all the people I know you've told me that you tried to share it with, and they just don't take you seriously. Some of our own parents don't take us seriously. Took right down to the deathbed for Marx. And praise God, ain't too late on the deathbed. There was a thief on the cross who got saved on his deathbed, and his deathbed was a cross with nails. And Jesus saved him. He said, today you'll be with me in paradise.
For years I believed it was possible that he could save, but at the same time it was hard.
Yeah.
It was hard. Because I brought up Christianity in the house.
Right, what we're talking about there, Martin, you know it. It had a lot to do with he just look at you and just try to blow you off. We all experience it. I'm going to try to say this right. Publius Cyrus is first credited with saying this in 43 BC, which I thought was interesting because leading up to the coming of Christ, right before Christ himself arrives, this guy says, familiarity breeds contempt. And that's what Jesus is dealing with there. And folks, I know that it even happened here. There's times where people here have, been unteachable or won't listen when you try to just give them biblical wisdom. And sometimes I think it's because we get too familiar. You just kind of blow eyes, this Pastor Greg. And doesn't have to be me. Be anybody here. Share biblical wisdom. You shouldn't look at the person. You should look at the wisdom. Say, well, he's a goofball, but that's true. See? Shouldn't even matter. I don't know who you think is, but you pick the goofiest person in this room, and if they give you biblical wisdom, you ought to say, well, that's a goofball, but that's true. Amen?
Amen.
That's what I tell people. I don't care. I don't try to have this big... Somebody asked me yesterday to do my pastor. That's how you can... They teach you that in seminary. And they want you to have this view of... And I won't say who, but I don't think she meant it bad, and I don't think she'd take it wrong, but I already made one lady cry today, so I'm going to stop there. But as somebody yesterday said, he doesn't act like a pastor either, and I said, thank you. Because I don't want to act like a pastor. It's not about the man in the pulpit. It's about the book.
Amen.
And you can think I'm a goofball, but if I'm teaching you the book and it's right, you better receive it. And that's true about anybody else in the room. And I got Mark 6:4. How many of you have heard this one? Oh, this is Jesus talking. A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. One of the things that amazes me is, as goofy and stupid as she's seen me be over 15, we're in our 15th year together, she still respects me. That's the hardest thing, wives and husbands and kids and parents. You see us do stupid things. We'll say stupid things. And then you still should respect that person. Especially if what they're telling you is biblical wisdom. And that's hard to do. I've talked to many women who said it's hard for me to follow that man as the leader of my house because he's an absolute idiot. I love him. And he's my idiot. But he's an idiot. I already made one girl cry. I didn't want to make you cry too. But... That's pretty good, wasn't it? It's like you came to hear Don Rickles preach this morning. No, but I've told him, and I said, you know what? You test what he says by the Word of God, and if what he's saying or the leadership he's providing is biblical, you ought to follow him. But it says, obey your husbands in the Lord. So if he goes outside of the Lord, you don't follow him. That's the rule, yeah. But it comes to you, when you talk to your family. Listen, Nowhere in the Bible does it say to spend your entire life trying to save the same people over and over. Nowhere. Nowhere, nowhere. I've looked for it because I had preachers had me in anguish over the fact I've got unsaved loved ones. We preach the gospel to them. What do? Move on. You got 7.5 billion lost people. I don't know if we're at 8 billion. I think we're around 8 billion now, but we'll say 7 billion to be safe. 7 billion, 6.5 billion, wherever you want to put it, there are billions of lost people on this planet. Go get them.
Amen.
And all you can do is present the gospel and then move on. Go to the next one. But there are people who don't really preach the gospel to anybody but a handful of friends and relatives. And the Bible right there tells you it's very unlikely they're going to listen to you. So what do? Preach the gospel, and then pray for them and ask the Lord to send someone they don't know.
Amen.
A complete stranger. They'll listen to strangers before they'll listen to you most of the time. That's what that's saying. Preach the gospel and then move on. You might be the stranger then that will preach to someone else's kin. And they'll get saved. And finally, do you feel disrespected sometimes? Especially by those people in your own house or the kin or whatever? Well, join the club. Boo-hoo. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Why? Because it's true of everybody. You're going to be disrespected. The thing is not to get your feelings hurt, but to realize you're just one of... That's what's called the church. You're going to be disrespected. Jesus is still disrespected. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world, was buried and rose again. His book is coming true. Prophecy is being fulfilled right before our eyes. And they still talk, use His name as a cuss word. Put something in the middle of Jesus and Christ. Sometimes it's the F word. Disgusting. He's still being disrespected, and he's going to be right up to the time, again, quoting John from the Bible study this morning, to the great white throne, when every single one of them are going to bow a knee and confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. One day, that's when it's going to change. All right, let's sing about that one day. I got hymn number 103. Wonderful hymns. Stand if you can. Sing 103 one day. Pay attention to these lyrics. Thank you.
Christmas and a happy new year. Glad tidings we bring to you and your kin. Glad tidings for Christmas and a happy new year. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. If you are not saved, glad tidings we bring to you and your kin. Glad tidings for Christmas and a happy new year. We wish you a merry Christmas. We wish you a merry Christmas. We wish you a merry Christmas
and a happy new year.
Keep preaching until the rapture. Keep preaching until the rapture. Keep reaching into the rapture,
and God calls us home.
Glad tidings we bring to you and your kin. Glad tidings for Christmas
and a happy new year.
We wish you a merry Christmas. We wish you a merry Christmas. We wish you a merry Christmas
and a happy new year.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Ho, 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 ho.